Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our Christmas devotion, celebrating the arrival of the Christ child, God's promised Redeemer. Our reading for today is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, and I'm reading from the NIV. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Just to there, may God bless his word to us today and always. Unlike Luke's family tree of Jesus in Luke chapter 3 verse 23, where he states that Jesus was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, Matthew is more direct in verse 16 of our reading, where he says that Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Joseph was clearly left out of the picture so as to indicate that Jesus' arrival was quite different from the aforementioned names preceding his birth, which are framed as a male who begat another male, with the mother being left out in almost everyone in the list of the generations. Matthew provided some explanation for his statement that Jesus was born of Mary only, but his first readers were Jewish, and they would have understood exactly what was happening. For us, however, an understanding of Hebrew marriage customs would be quite helpful. Marriages were arranged for individuals by parents, and contracts were negotiated. After this was accomplished, the individuals were considered married and were called husband and wife. They did not, however, begin to live together. Instead, the woman continued to live with her parents, and the man with his, for 1 year. The waiting period was to demonstrate the faithfulness of the pledge of purity given concerning the bride. If she was found to be with child in this period, she obviously was not pure, but had been involved in another relationship. Therefore, the marriage, what we would more likely call an engagement, could be annulled. If, however, the 1 year waiting period demonstrated the purity of the bride, the husband would then go to the house of the bride's parents and in a grand processional march lead his bride back to his home. There they would begin to live together as husband and wife and consummate their marriage physically. Matthew's story should be read with this background in mind. This is because Mary and Joseph were in the 1 year waiting period when Mary was found to be with child. They had never been intimate with each other, and Mary herself had been faithful. While little is said about Joseph, one can imagine how his heart must have broken. He genuinely loved Mary, and yet the word came that she was pregnant. His love for her was demonstrated by his actions. He chose not to create a public scandal by exposing her condition to the judges at the city gate. Such an act could easily have resulted in Mary's death by stoning. Instead, he decided to divorce her quietly. Then, in a dream, an angel told Joseph that Mary's condition was not caused by a man, but through the Holy Spirit. The child Mary carried in her womb was a unique child, for he would be a son whom Joseph should name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. These words must have resonated with Joseph as he recalled the promises of God through the Old Testament prophets regarding a Messiah who would come to redeem Israel. Matthew says that this message was in keeping with God's eternal plan, for the prophet Isaiah had declared 700 years before that the virgin will be with child, and this is in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. While Old Testament scholars dispute whether the Hebrew should be rendered young woman or virgin, it seems quite clear that God intended it here to mean a virgin, a woman who had never been with a man. Mary's miraculous conception fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy, and her son would truly be Emmanuel, God with us. In light of this declaration, Joseph was not afraid to take Mary into his home. There would no doubt be misunderstanding in the community and much gossip as well, but Joseph knew and believed the account of Mary's pregnancy as well as God's will for his life. Moreover, only if Joseph formally adopted the baby could he too be a son of David from the perspective of national requirements. It took a divine revelation to persuade Joseph to do so by accepting the pregnant Mary as his wife and then giving the child a name. As soon as Joseph awakened from this dream, he obeyed. He violated all custom by immediately taking Mary into his home, rather than waiting till the one-year period of betrothal had passed. Joseph was probably thinking of what would be best for Mary in her condition. He brought her home and began to care and provide for her, but there was no intimacy between them until after the birth of the child, Jesus. And so here we are, as we conclude, left to scratch our heads at the story of the birth of Jesus. There is no way of accounting for this from a scientific point of view. Are we faced with a story that best fits with fairy tales or ancient legends and myths? Some skeptics, within the church and outside the church, have tried to make such a case. But the record shows that, comparatively speaking, the only one left standing among ancient mythological and legendary figures is the historical person of Jesus of Nazareth. Every other fairy tale, legend, or myth has been lost in the sands of time, with not a soul following them for the sake of finding salvation or knowledge about God. Instead, it is clear to many believing scholars that, with respect to the birth of Jesus and his ministry, the Gospels, specifically Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are heavily shaped by Jewish tradition and belief, and not at all based on pagan mythological figures. John's Gospel is also devoid of these kinds of influences. Instead, the Gospel writers refer to the Old Testament writings and prophets throughout, with reference to God's promises of a Savior whose arrival fits our nativity story perfectly. While Jesus of Nazareth was an actual historical figure, the accounts that are beyond the scope of everyday human experience, and there are many, are things that require faith on our part. Faith alone. Faith that trusts the story of Jesus in every detail and does not doubt. Do we believe? Maybe from time to time we need to pray, "Lord, help me in my moment of doubt. Help me in my unbelief," so that we can believe again. And why wouldn't we be people of faith? God invites his people to walk by faith, faith in what is found in Scripture. Let God be true, and every man a liar. And so let us pray. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, it is written, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." And so, Father, we thank you for the birth of your dear, only begotten Son, Jesus, God with us. From him comes salvation. Through him we come to know you. With him we live in eternity with you, sharing in your life forevermore. Amen. And God bless you.